Morning. How's everybody today? You know, everybody excited about the week coming up? Finally get to see the 60s. Been a long winter. I really can't wait to start spending time outside again, enjoying the sun. Have you ever been disappointed? I know you're thinking in your head, well, what a great sermon this is going to be. What is disappointment? Well, it's when we set our expectations up here, and then when we actually get what we're getting, it's down here. We're not happy with the outcome. I'll give you some examples. Many of you know I'm battling prediabetes. I'm getting to the point where it's almost into diabetes, but something hit me about a month ago. I started coming home from work, and it's been great that, you know, I'm day shift now, and I still feel my sleep cycle isn't the best. But I started noticing that after I eat dinner, we all go, you know, sit down as a family on the couch, and I was out like that. And after a few days of that, my wife's like, take your sugar, check it. And let's just say it's a very high number, one that is not good for me at all. And I noticed that, you know, I started checking my sugar more and more, and it never fell below 200, even after sleeping all night. So I thought it'd be that I felt okay, that things were getting better, but they weren't. So I had to make some changes in my life, which we started last weekend after my high number hit. And now I feel a little bit better. My numbers are finally getting below 200. But one good thing that's come out of it, other than I can't eat the foods that I like, you know, it's salads, it's, you know, no carbs, everything I grew up on. But for the first time in probably, I don't know, since I met Carrie before, the scale told me I was below 200. So it's going in the right direction. That beginning was hard because I didn't feel full, but now I do. So things are looking up, which is good. Now imagine you're watching, sitting down, you're watching TV and you see a trailer on the TV and you're like, oh, that movie looks really good. I got to go watch that. One day you break down and go to the movie theater, spend your $15, get your snacks and your ticket, go sit down. And at the beginning, it's awesome. You know, it's everything you hoped it would be. And by the end of the movie, you're like, it's all right. I probably saw most of the movie in that trailer that I saw. First 10, 20 minutes of the movie. Well, I was thinking of this, of disappointment. One movie came to mind. And it's a clip I want to show you. It's from Christmas Vacation. If any of you have ever seen it, Clark Griswold has worked really hard at his job and is expecting a bonus. So you see, he built up for this big bonus that he was going to get, and he ended up getting the Jelly of the Month Club. Imagine his disappointment. Now, have you ever been in a job where you put your sweat and tears into it, and you've worked really hard to meet the goals of the company, but then they turn around and don't thank you for it, don't give you a raise for it? I mean, it's the same thing, disappointment. So we all in here know what it feels like to be disappointed. We're going to start today in Mark, chapter 11, this is one other thing that's gotten worse. I can't see anything anymore. There we go. So this is after Jesus and his disciples came into Jerusalem, all kinds of praise for Jesus. And this is the next day. So verse 12, the next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. You think he was disappointed? He had journeyed from Bethany to Jerusalem, and he was hungry. And upon seeing that tree, he's like, oh, his expectation grew. Like, I'm gonna be satisfied. My hunger's gonna go away. I'm gonna be good. But as he got closer, he noticed there was just leaves, no figs. But how can that be? Because the tree has leaves on it and it's meant to bear fruit. Why were there no fruit? But remember that Mark says it wasn't the season for figs. You think Jesus knew it wasn't the season? I mean, this is his first day on earth? No, it was the appearance that that tree would have fruit. It was the appearance, and what Jesus saw, leaves, he thought fruit, and it should have had fruit on it. Now, can we ourselves put up an appearance that looks like something that's not ourselves? Have you ever wanted to try and fit into a crowd? But when I was back in high school, for some reason, I really wanted to fit in. I wanted to be part of the in crowd. And one of the times I remember, and I know I've said it before, I thought it would be cool to take my brother's car down to school while some of my classmates were in summer school and just show off. And I knew, I felt comfortable with it because I had my experience before that. I had just gotten my permit, and it was probably a few weeks later when nobody was home. I hopped in the car and cruised up and down the road. Now, mind you, this wasn't a back farm road like it is around here. I lived in the center of town, and we had a traffic light. I'm cruising up and down. It's almost like driving up and down Front Street. I never had driving lessons. I just got in and went. And every car we owned was a standard, so I learned pretty quick. But anyway, I went down to the school, and they came out, and they were like, oh, cool, how nice. And this one kid came up to me, and I knew he had a license, and he said, hey, can I drive your car? I'm like, I don't care. You know, I wanted to fit in, so I let him drive the car. And we cruised around the back roads outside. And when he stopped, he got out, and before I could get out of the passenger seat, another kid jumped in the driver's seat. He said, hey, can I drive? Now, I knew he didn't have his license. I didn't feel comfortable about it, but guess what? I let him do it. Because, hey, I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be cool. I didn't want to be the killjoy in that moment. So we went out riding around the back roads, and I guess you get an uneasy feeling when he uttered the words, watch this. We're doing, I don't know, anywhere between 30, 40 miles an hour, and he goes to make a turn. And I guess he wanted to slide the back end or something, squeal the wheels. Well, he didn't quite make the turn. And we ended up slamming head on into the stop sign on that street. And I'm grateful there were no other cars there. I was in the passenger seat, smacked the windshield. And when I saw it, I'm like, oh, well, I could fix that. Or I can explain that away. I got out of the car. The hood's buckled, the front end pushed in. I'm like, I can't explain that away. I'm in a lot of trouble. So my nose is bleeding. The cops came, ambulance came, and the worst thing is my father was called to come get me. And he had to close up his pharmacy just so he could come get me. And all the time, I said I was driving. I don't know what it was with me, if I was trying to protect them or just because I was scared, well, if I let somebody else drive, I'd lose my chance of getting a license. So I just said, I was driving. And they knew I wasn't driving. I had a bloody nose. The windshields broke on my side. But through that, in school for the next couple years, I was the one getting laughed at. I was the one being ridiculed for letting him drive. Not him, who couldn't drive, but it was me. So that plan of being cool, well, that didn't work out. And even after, his parents knowing he drove, he knew he drove, there was no compensation for that car. So, now we come to today. I know I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. And every day, I still struggle out there, outside these walls. I'm supposed to live as Jesus lived and proclaim his name and his good works. But when I get to work, I want to fit in. I don't want to be the one standing out. I want to go with the flow, go with everybody there. Because I don't want to be the one where they, you know, they say, oh, look, there's that holy man. Or you better watch what you say, he's coming over here. You know, I struggle with that every day. But I desperately want to do God's will at the same time. So I'm like that tree that's full of leaves that doesn't bear fruit. Looks good on the outside, but not strong on the inside. I shouldn't be the one that is the comfortable one with that. I should be the one standing out and being different. Okay, my glasses again. John chapter 15, verse 18.
If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God calls us to be separate, to stand out among everybody else. And every day, we struggle to fit in. We're supposed to be set apart. Back to Mark chapter 11, verse 14. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. So what is Jesus' response to this fruitless tree? He doesn't just go, "Oh, there's nothing there for me, so I'll just move on and keep going." No, he stands there and he curses that tree. And he says that no one will ever eat from you again. Now imagine you're driving on a long trip and you got a lot of miles in between your exits and you're really getting hungry. And you start looking ahead for signs or something to eat. You notice a sign, Chick-fil-A. Whoa, I'm gonna get some good food. You pull in there and they're closed. And you remember it's Sunday. It's happened a lot, hasn't it? Imagine you're in line at the Bloomsburg Fair and you're at your favorite spot you only get once a year. And that line's really long. It's hot out. Your kids are whining. And you feel like you've been there forever. And then you hear the call out, "We're all out. We're sold out. We're closed. We're done for the day." Do you go up to that person and curse them and say, "May you never serve anybody else again"? Jesus said that because he was speaking the truth. All he was stating the obvious. The tree was in full bloom. It should have had figs on it, but it didn't. And because of that, he said he knew that tree was never going to bear fruit again. So all he did was speak it into existence. But remember, his disciples heard it. And he would use this as a teaching moment later on. So he leaves the tree behind and he heads to Jerusalem. And we'll pick up verse 15. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. He would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" So the temple in Jerusalem had become like a marketplace. And the money holders, money changers, they had the job. Now, Jews from foreign lands would have to come in and exchange their money for the money that was used at the temple, the shekel. And these money changers were there to take in their money and exchange it, but with a fee. And this fee was somewhere upwards of like 300%. So there's a lot of people who could not afford to exchange, to get what they needed because it was Passover time. And they wanted the sacrifice. They needed to buy their lambs, their doves, and the money for their atonement. Weren't able to. So Jesus saw it as, this is just a great big business that you got going on here. It is not the house of worship like it's supposed to be. So again, he saw what was wrong and cleaned it out. Just like he saw the fig tree. The money changers had put a price on God, on to meet him. Where God said, there is no price to come see me, to be with me. He has never put a price on salvation. He's never put a price on healing. He's never put a price on just coming to him. But they did. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, who can afford it, if you can pay the price, and I will give you rest. Is that what it says in there? Not my version. It just says, come and you will find rest. There's no price to pay. Romans 10:13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, if you can afford it, will be saved. Say that in your Bible? This is for everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Revelation 22:17. Now, I had the ESV version on at home, but we don't have it here, so this is the New American Standard. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. No cost. There is no cost to come to Jesus. But yet these people were putting a price for everybody to come see, to come and be with God. So Jesus had enough, and he cleared it out. From a distance, the temple looked like it was bustling. It was, you know, it was really good. But upon closer inspection, as he got closer, you could see it was not. It wasn't what it was meant to be. And just like that of the tree that had leaves but no fruit, it was an illusion. They were putting on a good show. Now, does God want us to bear fruit? Let's see. John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I choose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So what did Jesus mean by this fruit? What kind of fruit are we to bear? And he says this in 17, this is my command, love each other. So that is the fruit that he asks us to bear. Love one another. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. So, my brothers, you also died in the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to one another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So
So how are we going to bear fruit? Number one, we need to be close to God. We need to have that relationship with Jesus to keep getting that life water, to keep bearing fruit. Also, we kind of have to like each other. You know, I know there's a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of people in my life that I know I'm not too keen on. Not ones that I want to spend what valuable time I have with them. There are those that I do. But God wants us to love everyone. And it's a struggle for me because, I don't know, I feel like I'm introverted. I'm not one that's out there, hey. I'm usually alone, and I kind of like my job right now because I do it by myself. But God wants us out there reaching out to everybody, even the ones that we don't care for. And He wants us to love each other, bearing that fruit. Mark 11:20. So after this was all over, they went back out of the city. And they came back in the morning. As they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." Jesus said, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to the mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." So Jesus is coming full circle from the first day they went out to the tree. And they remember when he says, "You shall not eat from this tree." And now it's withered. Now it's gone. But Jesus is telling them, if you have faith, you believe in God, anything you say, the truth, it will happen if you believe it in your heart. So that's all Jesus was doing, was speaking the truth. He wasn't, you know, angrily cursing that tree. But it helped his disciples realize that they had the power, that they could speak and things would happen if they believed it in their heart. So what do we get from all this? Yes, there's disappointments. There's days when it doesn't go right. But don't be the tree with leaves that doesn't bear fruit. Don't put on a mask. Don't be somebody else that you're not. Christ called us to be the light out in the darkness. Not where there else is light, but out in the darkness, where the people need us, where the people have issues. Like, you imagine, you look at some people and say, you know, they got it all together. You know, they got their stuff. They got a big family. They're healthy. Everything seems to be going right. But if you took the time to actually get to know them, they have a lot of problems. And you would never know that because they're putting up a facade. You would never know that there are issues with them because they're playing a good game. But God calls us to not do that. We're to be the light anywhere we go. No matter what situation we're in, whoever we're with, people we like, people we dislike. That's what God wants us to do. So Father God, I thank you for these words that you've shared with us today. Lord, I remember back at the beginning of the week when I was preparing for the message, I knew the subject, but nothing came to mind. But you poured it out, and you poured it out over the week. And I'm so grateful for the words that you've given me because it definitely opened my eyes to, you know, what I need to work on. I don't want to be the one that fits in. I want to be the one who stands out. Someone that people can come to. They're not afraid to approach me, to ask a serious question. For instance, are you real? I want to be open to that. I don't want to fit in because if I fit in, none of that will be exposed.
life will just go on. If I conform to the world, your name would not be brought up. That's why, Lord, I want to stand out. Help us to stand out. Be that beacon of hope for everybody. Help us to love one another, even those that in our heart we don't care for. In our heart that may have done wrong to us. Lord, that's how we bear our fruit. Give us those opportunities to share your love with them. And in time, being able to bring them to you. And therefore bear fruit. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done in our lives so far. And we look forward to everything you're about to do. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen.